You got this one here?
Okay. It's the verse above. I asked him. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's just the verse before. It didn't sound quite right. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. That sounds right.
Hey, we got it. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in all that we do and say. That'll be for your honor and glory. Father, I just, with this Labor Day weekend, I just pray, Lord, that we might get something out of this message that we can use for our own lives, and we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, the title of this morning's message is laboring. Just laboring. Not a woman in labor, but just laboring, okay? And so, you know, with this being Labor Day weekend, I thought it would be good to bring a message that had to do with laboring. And, you know, there are those who will not do labor. You know, there's an awful lot of people today who would just as soon sit back and let somebody else do the working, and then they just collect the paycheck. Amen? And been watching pretty close what President Trump is doing, and he's introduced a bill now where if you are caught rioting or demonstrating in a bad way, they will take your unemployment or food stamps away from you, which I think is fantastic. And so maybe they'll get to the bottom of this, find out who is actually behind it all. And I saw this morning a piece that there was a someplace, a restaurant was burned down last night, and they went to break into a house. And they went up on the roof, and they're on the second floor of this house. And for some reason, they were met with a 12-gauge shotgun as they were going through the window. I don't know where the 12-gauge would have came from, but needless to say, they decided that maybe this was not the right house to do anything with as they rolled off the roof, you know. And so anyway, but, you know, it's about time that we the people take our government back. Amen? And so, but anyway, but that's not what I'm going to be talking about this morning. If I did, I could talk for hours on it. But, you know, there are many who do feel that they don't need to labor to get compensated for it. You know, there are also those that feel that they need to be compensated even though they do not labor. You know, my dad had a good philosophy when I was growing up, and this is what he said. He says, if you don't work, you don't eat, period. That's just the way it was. And, you know, I want to look at some passages of Scripture this morning would show us what our labor should be and what we should receive for our labor. You know, I truly believe that there are an awful lot of people today who have a misconception about the labor for the Lord. You know, I really believe that. You know, the first thing is this. We need to labor with our hands. We need to labor with our hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled and we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. In Ephesians 4:28, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. You know, the Bible over and over and over again says that we need to labor with our hands and do good work. You know, it's important that we, each of us, labor and do things that we can support our families. I mean, that's the number one thing, is to take and make sure our families are supported. You know, we are to care for the the needs of which God has entrusted us with in our care, and that is our families. You know, we need to make sure that our families are taken care of. You know, God has given us a responsibility to work for what we have. I realize that we have some tough times right now, and there's a lot of people who are out of work. In fact, this morning I was watching the news, and some company is going to be laying off 1,400 people that were on furlough, and now they're going to be laid off because the government funding has stopped, and they're going to be laying them off because they aren't able to come back full force again into work. And there's a lot of things that are happening right now where people are really struggling trying to make ends meet. But you know, I really believe, though, that if a person wants to work, that you can find work. There is work out there. In fact, the other day I went to McDonald's and there was a sign up there, hiring. Over at Burger King, there's a sign up, hiring. And so, you know, there is work available. Yeah, you may not make as much as what you did before, but, you know, down the road, you might be able to get back into what you're doing. But if a person does nothing, I do not believe that he should be able to achieve the bounties that God has given so abundantly. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." And you know, you need to realize that when Paul was in Thessalonica, he never took one thing from the Thessalonians. He was there and he worked himself. He preached at night and he went out and worked all day. He was a tent maker, and he went out and he worked making tents all day long. Then he'd come in and preach until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, go back the next day. But he never once asked anything from the Thessalonians, not one dime. You know, you may say, well, preacher, that's so cruel. You know, there are a lot of people who are not able to work, and you're telling them that they should not eat if they don't work. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that a person needs to try to put the best ability they can forward to take and put food on their table. In the Bible times, if a person didn't work, he did not eat. I mean, that's just the way it was. You know, let's take a look at Ruth for a minute. What happened in the book of Ruth? Naomi and Ruth went back to Bethlehem, didn't they? They went back to Bethlehem, and what happened? Did they just sit around and, you know, let everybody, you know, collect food stamps and go to the food banks? No, they didn't. Every morning, Ruth got up at sunrise. She went out and gleaned the fields and got as much as she possibly could off those fields and then came in at sundown with what she had taken. You know, and I don't believe that she took a whole lot off of those fields because they'd already been picked. She just went through and got whatever was left over. Now, you know, why did she do that? Why didn't she go to the government and say, well, hey, I can't work. I need unemployment. I need this. Because that's not the way it was done. That's not the way it was done. They had to either work or they didn't eat. Now, we need to realize that many times there are people who can't work, and I understand that. But I do believe that it's the responsibility of the breadwinners and the family to take and supply for their families. I've always felt that way. You know, we need to find a job, and we need to take and stick to it and put our best foot forward. You know, as I see the people who are coming through the food bank line, you know, I think to myself, how many of these really need the food? And then I'm thinking to myself, you know what, if they weren't in the food bank line, they probably wouldn't need food. You know, Friday was one of the best food banks we've ever had. And you can attest to it. Do you know that there was not a car that came through that did not thank us for the food? You remember last week I said that people were so ungrateful, they never thanked us for food anymore? Well, I'll tell you what, this last Friday, There was not a car, not one, that didn't thank us over and over and over. And I'll tell you what, I thought to myself, well, praise the Lord, somebody's been watching my messages. But what we need to realize is this, is that, you know, if you get something, you need to be thankful for it. The second thing is this, we need to labor together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, For ye remember, brethren, our labor and our travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And that's what Paul was saying. We did not take anything from you. We labored ourselves and we supported ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. You know, a job can be done a whole lot easier if you have more than one person do it. Amen? You know, if you have more than one person working at doing something, you can get it done a whole lot faster than you can with just one. You know, a lot more can get done around the church if we have more than one person doing it. You know, this last Friday, we had a nice crew out there working at the food bank. And all of us worked together. And guess what? We had everything put out in about 45 minutes. And all the cars went through in about 45 minutes, an hour and a half. We were all done. Everything was cleaned up and everybody went home before it got really hot. And it got really hot. And but you know, in the days of the early church, we see that the people had everything in common. You know, they did everything together. Nothing was done alone, but everything was always done collectively. And you know, when you do that, you get a lot more done. You know, when Jesus sent the disciples out, how did he send them? Huh? Two by two, didn't he? He didn't send them alone. He didn't say to Peter, okay, you go over here all by yourself. He didn't say to John, you go over here by yourself. He didn't say to Andrew, you go over here by yourself, and Matthew over here. He says, I want you to pair up two by two, and I want you to go together, because you can get more done together than you can individually. And this is exactly what happens. We need to realize that we can get a lot more done if there's more of us doing it. You know, it's no different in the church today. If we feel that it's just up to the preacher and his wife to get things done around the church, believe me, there's not going to be a whole lot get done. I've only got so many hours in the day. And we need more to take and help. You know, if there's only a few who give to the church, not much is going to get done either. You know, there's not a whole lot of things that we can do for the honor and glory of God. And I got to give everybody an attaboy. I do. I mean, through this whole pandemic, the thing that bothered me the most was the tithes and offerings of the church would go down. But you know what? They didn't. They did not go down. And we've been able to do everything that we needed to get done for his honor and glory. Now, I want you to look around in here, and I want you to look at everything. Do you know that everything is paid for? We have no outstanding bills right now at all for the construction of the remodeling of the church. None. Zero. And that's all to the honor and glory of God. You know, we could be $20,000 in debt, but we're not. You know, we need to all work together, whether it's for helping someone who needs help or helping in the building of the church or helping in the community. And you know, we need to be a good testimony and work together. If we would all work together at projects, we could get them all done. You know, if we will pull together and do the work which had been set in front of us, I guarantee that we're going to get everything done that we need to get done. But, you know, if everybody goes their own way and does, well, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. A lot of times nothing gets done. A lot of things will get started, but nothing will ever get accomplished. You know, we need to work together for a common goal, and that's to take and see the church go forward. You know, we need to take and labor for the Lord. The third thing is we need to labor for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, we read that. But it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you don't have that underlined, underline it. You need to underline that verse in your Bible. Because it shows you what you need to do for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, now that he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, I think of all of us, I think all of us realize that we must all have employment to support our families and keep a roof over our heads and keep food on our table and supplies for our needs. I think all of us realize we need to do that. That is our number one objective, to supply for our families. But what about working and doing things for the Lord? Where does that fit in to our lifestyle? You know, after all, you know, I only have 2 days off a week, and I have to have some family time. I need some time for entertainment. I need some time for relaxation and some time for just myself. And there's an awful lot of people that think that way. They think, well, you know what? I don't have a lot of time that I can take and spend doing things for the Lord. Well, there's not a whole lot of time left in the week after we get everything done. Believe me, I know. If anybody knows, I know. And, you know, I'm here 7 days a week. You know, I'm here now when we start school again, it'll be 10 hours a day. And so what we need to realize is there's not a whole lot of time left after that. But what about family time with the Lord? How can we spend family time while we are doing things for the Lord? I'm going to give you an example. I have a daughter and a son-in-law. I love them to death. But they have a rule, and this is their rule. Sundays is the Lord's Day. We are in church. Now, their church is a little different than ours is, in that they have, their Sunday school starts at 7, 8, 9, 10, at 10 o'clock, and their morning worship starts at 11 and done at noon. So they're all done with morning worship at noon. At 1:30 is teen soul winning. The girls both have to be back at 1:30 to go out door knocking. At 3 o'clock is junior choir. That means that Naomi has to be back to church at 3 o'clock for junior choir practice. And so she's there at 3 o'clock. Church starts at 5. That doesn't leave them a whole lot of time on Sunday, does it? So let's go back to Saturday. Now, they live in Georgia. The grass grows all the time in Georgia. So Saturday morning, they get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get out on the lawnmower, mow all the lawns, get all the lawn work done. They go in, take a shower, change clothes. At 9 o'clock, 9:45, they're in the car, and away they go. Door knocking. Soul winning. They're out knocking on doors, getting people ready to come on Sunday morning on the buses. When they get all done, guess what they do? They go on a picnic, or they go to a park, or they do something as a family. They're away from home. So they go out and they do something as a family. Now, on Saturday morning when the girls are out mowing lawn, Denise is going grocery shopping. She gets all the groceries for the week, comes home, gets them put away. By then, the girls are ready to take a shower, boom, bang, ding, and we're on our way again. But they do things for the Lord as a family. And, you know, as long as I've known them, and Denise has been quite a few years, and they've always worked for the Lord. They've always done something for the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what. I got a call from Naomi. That's the littlest one. She called me 2 weeks ago on Saturday afternoon. And she goes, "Grandpa, guess what?" I said, "What?" She says, "I got to lead a little girl to the Lord." I said, "Wow, is that cool?" She said, "I knew you'd be excited." Well, you know, that's the greatest thing there is having your kids lead somebody to the Lord. Rebecca, she called last weekend. She goes, "Grandpa, we're out soul winning. And guess what? I led a boy to the Lord." I said, "Wow, praise the Lord. And he's coming to church tonight." I said, "Man, that's great." You know, that's what it's all about. But why do they do that? They do it as a family. And one of the reasons they left the church that they were in was because the church got away from door knocking. That's why. Because Scott and Denise believe that door knocking is important. And you know what? That's what this church here is going to do, too, as soon as this weather breaks a little bit. I get awful hot out in that 115-degree weather door knocking, believe me. But what we need to realize is we need to be working for the Lord. You know, both my kids, they work hard. They work long hours. They both have secular jobs, but yet they still do things as a family for the Lord. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to keep our families in the Lord's work. That's, you know, I'll tell you what, I just praise the Lord for Serena and for Susan. I mean, you know, they want to take and do junior church. They want to work and do the things for the Lord. I mean, that's a thrill to me when I see our teenagers who want to do that. You know, many times we say, "Oh, that's stupid. That's stupid to do things for the Lord." No, it's not. You know, well, we need to realize if we don't do it, who's going to? If we don't do the things that God wants us to, who's going to? You know, we should want to do the Lord's work with joy and a heart that you're wanting to do it for the Lord instead of you. You know, there's an awful lot of people today who feel that if they do something for the church, they need compensation. You know, you need to get paid. You know, one day we're no longer going to be able to work. Did you know that? One day, we're no longer going to be able to work. We're not going to be able to do much. And my day is coming sooner than I thought, because I'll tell you, after riding on that forklift for an hour and a half on Friday, I could hardly walk yesterday. But John chapter 9, verse 4 says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can," what? Work. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, what we need to realize is that one day we're going to die. One day we can't work anymore. We got to work while we can. You know, Jesus knew one day his work was going to be done here on this earth, and that he was no longer going to be here on this earth. He's going to be in heaven. And what we need to realize is one day our work will be over also. And, you know, people say, "Well, I don't know why you work so much." Well, one day I'm not going to have to. I'm going to be resting. I might as well work as much as I can now, because someday it's all going to be over. We need to realize that one day we will not be working anymore. And some of us, that day is coming faster than others. But we need to do what we can now for the honor and glory of God. But we need to labor also for a reward. We need to labor for a reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own," what? Labor. According to his own labor. That's what your reward's going to be. Is what you did for the honor and glory of God, that's what your reward's going to be. After all, 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Listen, we need to labor for a reward. You know, when you go to work and you put in 40, 50, 60 hours, what do you expect? A paycheck, right? You expect a paycheck. You expect something for your labor. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, we expect honest pay for honest work. Unless you're Kevin. But what we need to realize is this, is that what are we going to get out of what we do for the Lord? I don't see any paycheck every week from him. I don't see paid the owner of Dale Storm so much God on the bottom of it. I don't. I don't see that at all. But someday I will. Someday when I get to heaven, guess what? There's going to be rewards in heaven for me. After all, Paul said what? He's going to go to heaven and that's where he's going to get his rewards. He says in 2 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Listen, every one of us are going to get a reward someday. You know, we need to labor for a reward. You know, when we labor for the Lord, we will one day receive a reward. However, we got to wait for it, don't we? We got to wait for that reward. You know, if you worked a week and didn't get paid, and you worked another week and didn't get paid, and you worked another week and didn't get paid, and you worked another week and didn't get paid, how long would you work for that whoever? Not very long, would you? But if you labor for the Lord, yeah, you don't get paid here on earth, but one day you're going to get it in heaven. You know, when we labor for the Lord, that one day we're going to receive a reward that we cannot comprehend right now. We're going to have a reward that is greater than anything we can expect. You know, it's nice to have a pat on the back and somebody say, "Hey, you know what? You did a good job. You really did. By the way, William, you did a nice job. I don't know what, but you did a nice job. I just thought I'd give you an attaboy." You know what I mean? But he's had enough of the old lately. So anyway, but you know, what we need to realize is that, you know, we like to have a pat on the back sometimes. Say, "Hey, you know what? You guys did a good job today. I told all the food bank workers Friday, I said, man, you guys did a good job. We got everybody through here before it got too hot, and everybody did such a good job." And it's good to have a pat on the back. But we should not work for self-edification. But we need to labor for the honor and glory of God, doing all we can for him and him alone. You know, he's going to give us rewards that we have no idea what they're going to be until we get to heaven. You know, I can hardly wait to see what my rewards are going to be. I can. You know, maybe they won't be much. But they're all going to be tried by fire. And we'll have to see if it's hay, wood, or stubble, or if we've got gold, silver, and precious stone. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. You know, the things that we have on this earth are one day going to be gone. Did you know that? They're going to be gone. You know, Kevin's been reading in Ecclesiastes, and he says, you know, he says, Solomon found out that the things he had wasn't that great. And, you know, you think about it, and that's right. You know, all through Solomon's life, he built for himself. You know, I would have loved to have seen the palace during Solomon's reign. You know, I can't remember off the top of my head how many thousands of pounds of gold he took in every year. And that's beside the silver and brass and precious stones and everything that he took in. And he built for himself beautiful homes, built a beautiful temple. He spared nothing. And yet, at the end of his life, what did he say? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. What we need to realize is that all through his life, he did all of this work. And when he got all done at the end of his life, he said, what for? What for? What for? Why did I do all this? Who's going to have it now? He says, is the person who I'm going to leave this to going to be as wise as I am? Who's going to take care of all of this? After all, they say that his gardens were so beautiful that the beauty of the gardens were surpass anything in the Garden of Eden. Now, how did he water them? He had taken and made a conduit that started up on a hill, and a pool of water was filled. And that pool would overflow and come down a conduit into another pool. And that one would go into another one and another one, another one, another, all the way down the hill. And off those pools came pipes that went and watered every bit of his garden. He was one of the most ingenious there ever was as far as drip systems go. And that's basically what they were, was a drip system. And he had come up with that so many years ago. Now, you know, let's look at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not a very wet town. It's much like what we have here. But yet his gardens and his orchards were more beautiful than anything past, present, or even in the future. Why? Because he had the wisdom. He knew how to do it. But who did he do it for? He did it for himself. He wanted the beauty for himself. He didn't do it for the honor and glory of God. He did it for himself. And when he came to the end of his life, he said, well, vanity of vanities, all of vanity, all of this, all of the work, all of the toil, all of the nights I stayed up drawing all of this out, what good was it for? He came to the conclusion that what he did for himself or what he did for man was nothing. But what he did for God will stand the test of time. You know, we need to be laboring for the rewards that we're going to have one day in heaven instead of trying to live our lives for ourselves here on this earth. We need to labor with our hands. We need to labor together. We need to labor for the Lord, and we need to labor for a reward. And, you know, if we will labor that way, I guarantee that we're going to have what we need in life. You know, this Labor Day weekend, let's look at our own lives and see what we are laboring for. Are we putting all of our time in for ourselves? Or are we using some of our time for the honor and glory of God? You know, it's one thing to take and work for ourselves, but it's something else to work for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this message. I just pray, Lord, that you take and touch our hearts with it today. Father, help us to realize that we need to take and labor for you, not for ourselves. Father, I just thank you so much for this message. I know I needed it, and I just pray that many out here needed it also. Father, I just pray now that you'd guide and direct the invitation. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Preacher, you know what? I've been laboring for myself. I've been doing a lot of things for myself. I haven't been doing as much as I should for the honor and glory of God. Would you pray for me that I might be able to do more for his honor and glory? If that's you, just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, Preacher, I'm not even 100% sure that I'm saved. I can't remember a time or a place where I asked Jesus into my heart. Would you pray for me today that I might know him as my personal Savior? If that's you, just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Anyone like that at all? Father, you know our hearts. You've seen the hands, and I just pray, Lord, that you would take and be with them. Help them, I pray, that they would take and labor for you. Do everything that you would have them to do. Father, it's one thing to do everything for ourselves, but it's something else to do labor for you. I just pray on this Labor Day that we might take and do the laboring that you'd have us to do for your honor and your glory. I just thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand, turn to hymnal number 153.